I'd like to thank all of our visitors that we have this evening. Anytime that we have those amongst us that are visiting, we're so appreciative. Every one of us here at Broadview Church of Christ appreciates you, thanks you for being here, and wants to invite you back anytime that you're in the area. If you're visiting with us for the first time, thank you so much, and know that you're always our honored guest anytime you can be here. If you're looking for a new place to worship, know that you have a home here with these Christians at Broadview. Tonight our lesson will be coming from Acts chapter 8. Lessons from the Ethiopian. I once saw a sermon by a late gospel preacher. The sermon titled, "The Story That Never Grows Old." And speaking of Acts chapter 8 and the conversion of the Ethiopian, "The Story That Never Grows Old." I love that title. The story of someone being converted to Christ is a story that should never grow old. It is a story that we should never forget. A lot of us here in this room have a wealth of Bible knowledge from all over the Scriptures. But I encourage us to never stop just because we think we know a story. We may all have heard the story, the account of the Ethiopian in Acts chapter 8, but I submit to you tonight that every single time that we have to read the Bible again is another opportunity that we have to see something maybe we didn't see before. Maybe some lessons that hopefully we can apply to our daily lives that maybe we didn't see the first time we studied. Maybe we saw another account, and definitely we see in Acts chapter 8 the story of conversion, but tonight I hope that we can look at this again and look at three more lessons that I think that we can apply to our life if we'll be more like the Ethiopian. I want us to begin reading in Acts chapter 8, verses 26 through 29. "Now an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is desert. So he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasury, and had to come to Jerusalem to worship, was returning, and sitting in his chariot, he was reading Isaiah the prophet. And the Spirit said to Philip, Go near and overtake this chariot." And we'll pause right there to make our first point. The first lesson I believe that we can see from the Ethiopian tonight is a willingness to seek. And a willingness to seek worship. I want us to understand that when it talks about him returning from Jerusalem to worship, understand this is not like what we think about today. Understand that his desire to go worship in Jerusalem was not something that was small. He didn't just say, "I want to go worship, I'm going to go down the street and hang a left and I'll be right there in 5 minutes." Now as we see on the screen behind me, the distance from Ethiopia to Jerusalem was quite a ways. Depending on where he was at in Ethiopia returning, it could be up to 1,500 miles or further just for him to travel to worship. That's quite a distance just to worship. He had a willingness to seek worship. That's the kind of willingness we need to see. So many times today, we have so many things going on, we can find countless ways to not seek to worship. We have our children, our jobs, entertainment, you name it, and there's something in front of us, and we talk about it all the time as Christians, don't we? Don't we always talk about all of those, I always call them shiny objects that are dangled in front of me, to almost I can see Satan tell me, "Don't pay attention to God, look over here. Don't worship, don't seek to worship." But the Ethiopian was willing to seek worship. It did not matter how far it was, he was going to be there. You know, all we're asked to do as Christians today is simply believe the Word of God, be baptized to be saved from our sins, and join ourselves to a local group of Christians, a local assembly, to worship on the first day of the week. Let us not use excuses. Let us see the example of the Ethiopian willing to travel over 1,000 miles just to worship. The Ethiopian is an excellent example of how believers' love for God should push them to obey and should push us to go a step further than just the norm, just the minimal. If the minimal was all that he was trying to do, would he have gone that many miles just to worship? No. What about at work? What about if we went into work and all we did for our boss was just the minimal? If we just showed up on time and hopefully did our small task until time to go home, how would our boss see us? Would he see us as someone who he's ready to give a promotion to, ready to give a raise to? I doubt it. Same with God. Apply those normal everyday principles to your life with God. God doesn't just seek us to just be baptized and be saved and then just kind of live life, do the minimal we can do for God. God expects us to have a willingness to worship Him, a willingness to seek Him, not to just do the minimal. That's a great example we can see here from the Ethiopian. He was ready to do just more than the minimal. He was ready to go for thousands of miles just to worship as commanded by the old law. Secondly, I think from verses 26 through 29, the Ethiopian shows us a willingness not only to seek worship, but to simply seek God. Simply seek God. Verse 28, it says, "And sitting in his chariot, he was reading Isaiah the prophet." He wanted to know more about God. He wanted to read and he wanted to understand more than he already knew. He was willing to seek God. Something I want to point out here is the fact that Philip was divinely sent to him. Sometimes we pass by Acts chapter 8 and we just see a conversion here. We don't pay attention to Philip was sent to him by the Holy Spirit. You know, we can actually see another instance of this in Acts chapter 10. Cornelius was a religious man who prayed, gave of his means. He continued to pray to know more about God. And what did God do for him? He sent him Peter. And then Peter brought the gift of salvation to all of the Gentiles of all of the world. What I'm trying to show us here from this verse, from the Ethiopian, he sought to know more about God. And what do you know? God listened. Jeremiah 29 and verse 13, God speaks to the Israelites in captivity and he tells them, "And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all of your heart." When we live our daily lives in such a way that we seek to have more knowledge, God hears us. It doesn't go unnoticed. God knows that we seek Him and He will do everything He can to give us that knowledge, to help us along the way. God is not a God who gives us salvation and just leaves us here to say, "Good luck. You're safe from your sins." God is with us every day. We can't see Him physically to touch Him. But know that God is there when you seek Him. Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 and 8, Jesus says, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened." Understand, the first lesson we can see from the Ethiopian tonight is a willingness to seek worship. Let us seek worship the same way he did. Let us seek to understand more about God, as the Ethiopian did, and God will hear us, God will be with us, and He will help us, and He will draw us closer to Him. But we have to have a willingness. We can't just expect that we'll understand everything about God without a willingness to go past the minimal. We have to have a willingness to seek, as we see the Ethiopian did here. The second lesson I want us to learn can be found in verses 30 through 35. 30 through 35, if you'll please follow along with me. "So Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, 'Do you understand what you are reading?' And he said, 'How can I unless someone guides me?' And he asked Philip to come up and sit with him. The place in the scripture which he read was this: 'He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his justice was taken away. And who will declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth.' So the eunuch answered Philip and said, 'I ask you, of whom does this prophet say this? Of himself or of some other man?' Then Philip opened his mouth and, beginning at this scripture, preached Jesus to him." He preached Jesus to him. Second lesson I hope that we can learn from the Ethiopian this evening is a willingness to learn. A willingness to learn. First, a willingness to learn from others. Notice what he says. "How can I unless someone guides me?" Hope we all understand from this verse is we all have something more to learn and we need to be willing to ask. We need to be willing to ask. How are you going to have more knowledge about God unless you look in the Word of God? You ask other Christians. Don't be afraid to ask other Christians. As Christians, sometimes we have a tendency to not want to ask other Christians. And so we just form our own opinion of what we think Scripture might say. Why do we do this? Why do we not ask our brothers and sisters about Scripture? Well, it's because we have an attitude of fearing to ask. We have this part of us inside that tells us, I'm a Christian. I'm supposed to know the entire Bible. What are my brothers and sisters going to think of me if I have to go to them and ask them what this verse means? They're going to think I'm an unskilled Christian, unskilled, unlearned in the Bible. Brethren of Christ, I promise you that if you come up to me this evening after services and you give me some quote from the Old Testament, I can't promise you I can put a finger and tell you exactly where it is right now. It's just not possible for my brain, my human brain, to understand, to memorize the entire Bible. But that doesn't mean we don't continue to try to learn. We don't continue to try to ask others for help. Ask others. Don't fear what other people will think of you if you don't understand a passage of Scripture. I ask you tonight, is it better to temporarily feel silly about not understanding a Scripture, or is it worse to be eternally wrong and be lost for all of eternity? Which one would you choose? 5 minutes of maybe feeling a little insecure about yourself, or going on for an eternity in hell because you didn't figure out what that Scripture meant for your life? Have a willingness to learn from others. The Ethiopian had a willingness to learn from another follower, another disciple of Christ. Another willingness to learn that he displays is he displays a willingness to learn from Scripture. Verse 34 and 35, the Ethiopian had a willingness to learn about Scripture as he asked Philip, who does the prophecy speak of? Himself or someone else? I want to encourage us tonight that we need to have that same kind of passion for understanding Scripture. When you read something, do you ever think to yourself, what did that prophecy mean? Was that fulfilled? How was that fulfilled? In what verse in the New Testament was that fulfilled? Do you ever find yourself really thinking about a Scripture, or do you think, I don't really understand that, I'll just keep going and read the next one? Have a willingness to learn what you don't know. God expects us to treat Christianity as a marathon, not as a sprint. We're not supposed to be baptized and poof. We know everything about God. We have all knowledge. But He expects us to continue to obey Him. And we do that by learning what His will is for our life. Have a willingness to learn from others that are in the faith. Have a willingness to learn from Scripture. I'm encouraged to hear that there's a ladies' Bible class being formed. Why would the ladies in this group want to have a ladies' Bible class? Well, I tell you, it's because you're following the example of the Ethiopian and you all have a willingness to learn. Amen to you for wanting to do that. Whether it be a ladies' Bible class, whether it be men getting together, whether it be a couple of us as friends and as brothers and sisters getting together at somebody's house, or whether it be you just sitting down, husband and wife, with your children to study, do it. Study the Word of God. Have a willingness to understand and learn more than you currently know now. Sometimes we have a false interpretation of the word Bible study. Well, what comes in your mind when I say, do you want to have a Bible study? Can I have a Bible study with anybody? The first thing many of you probably think, Bible study? Well, that's either the Bible studies we have before our sermons, for our worship, or that's for the lost. That's for people who don't know any better. That's not the right attitude to have. Bible studies are not just for the lost. Bible studies are for each and every one of us who simply want to know more about the Word of God. And I encourage you to start one. If you don't understand some Scripture, you want to understand more, you have a lot of choices. You can come to the elders. They'd be glad to have a Bible study. Come to me. We'll go over some things. It doesn't even have to be that. You can simply get with a few of your brothers and sisters, talk about things, understand more. Or again, just as husband and wife, sit at home with your children, carve out some time that this is going to be the time that we're going to open our Bibles and we're going to study Scripture. We're going to have a willingness to learn as the Ethiopian did. Our second lesson I hope we learn from the Ethiopian tonight is that we need to have a willingness to learn.
just like he did, from others that are Christians and from Scripture.
There's one more willingness to learn, or willingness that I want to cover this evening, that can be found in verses 36 through 39.
36 through 39. Now as they went down the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized?" Philip said, "If you believe with all of your heart, you may." And he answered and said that, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." So he commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. Now when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away, so that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing.
I hope something that we see from these verses that we may not have thought about before is that the Ethiopian displays a willingness to obey. Maybe we've thought about that before, because obviously we know he obeyed. Obviously we know he was baptized and he was saved. But he had a willingness to obey the God's plan of salvation. Notice in verse 36, he says, "See, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized?" He's asking the question. There's water. Is there anything stopping me from being saved right now? What I want us to see from his willingness to obey is his directness. The way he just plainly, he's preached Jesus. He's asking, "Explain these scriptures to me." Philip explains to him Jesus, who Jesus is, what Jesus did for him, and how Jesus expects him to be saved. Jesus expects him to take the grace, take the mercy, and he preaches to him baptism. That's why he says, "See, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized?"
Notice, in no way does the Ethiopian say, "Here's water. I don't think that saves me." He doesn't say, "Well, can I do it later? Can't there be some other way that I can be saved? Can't I just believe? Can't I just have faith? Can't I just confess? I believe what you're telling me. I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Isn't that enough to save me?" He doesn't say that.
He has a willingness to obey the exact plan of salvation that is given to us now in what we understand to be the New Testament. He doesn't question it. He doesn't try to change it because he doesn't like the way it's presented to him. He simply follows it. He simply obeys. That's how we should treat every part of Scripture. Not just salvation. No matter what it is. No matter if it's just we're looking at the Word of God to tell us how to become a better husband. How to become a better wife, a better father, mother, employee, friend, neighbor, a better brother and sister in Christ to my brothers and sisters. We should always go back and have a willingness to obey whatever it is that God tells us. That's what God expects, and that's what the Ethiopian displays here for us. Another willingness to obey I want to share with you is he had a willingness to obey immediately. Verse 38. So he commanded the chariot to stand still. And both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. He baptized him. I want us to see the Ethiopian did not understand the entire Word of God at that moment. It's a faulty thought that many have that you cannot be saved from your sins until you understand the entire Bible. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. I want to be saved from my sins, but I don't understand enough. I want to have some Bible studies. I want to understand more about the writings of the apostles, the writings of Paul. After I feel good with that, then I'll be saved. Those who are not saved this evening, you don't have to understand the entire Word of God. All you need to understand is what the Ethiopian understood. Jesus was preached to him, and when he heard what he needed to do to be saved, he immediately commanded the chariot to stand still, and he wanted to be baptized right then, right there. You need to understand, as the Ethiopian showed, you can show that same way. If you're here tonight, the account of the Ethiopian has been explained. We understand that he was someone who was a religious man. He would have been a proselyte, one who had not grown up Jewish descent,
but became a Jew. He continued to want to know more. Jesus was preached to him. He understood what he needed to do. Now that Jesus had come and saved him from his sins, he needed to obey and he needed to be baptized.
That's what we understand about salvation. This evening, if you're here tonight, here's what you have to do. You have to hear the Word of God. You've done that this evening. You have to understand and believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. After you do that, certainly your next step should be, I understand Jesus, Son of God. I understand God is my Creator. Then you'll want to have a willingness to obey your Creator, a willingness to obey the One who saved you from your sins. If you want to obey the One who saved you from your sins, your obedience should lead you to baptism. To baptism. Finally, I want us to see tonight that if you have not yet been baptized, and if something is holding you back, if maybe the something that is holding you back is that you have a fear of this big event. A lot of people, and I can certainly attest to that, when I was younger and I knew what I needed to do to be saved, there was a part of me that said, I know what I need to do to be saved, but I just don't know if I want to be in front of other people. It's a big deal. I've built it up in my head. I want you to understand something tonight. Baptism is not some holiday. It is not something we should make a feast over. It's not something that we should necessarily even have to remember every year as this big, great event. You know what baptism is? It is simply an act of obedience. The Ethiopian understood what he needed to do to be saved. He stopped immediately and he did it. That's the same for you tonight. That's all baptism is. It's obeying a command that Jesus tells you to be saved. Tonight, I hope that we have looked at the Ethiopian and understood that this is a wonderful, wonderful piece of Scripture to go to see how we're saved. He heard the Word of God. He believed it. He confessed that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he wanted to be baptized then and there. He wants to understand that if you're not a child of God, you've heard these things tonight. You understand that Jesus Christ is your Lord, your Savior. Why not be like the Ethiopian? Don't let a fear of some big ordeal keep you from being saved. If you believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God and you're ready to be saved from your sins, if you are ready to have a home in heaven at the end of this life, don't fear anything on this earth. Don't fear people looking at you. It's just a simple act of obedience. Obey the way the Ethiopian did. Do it immediately and do it so you can have your sins taken away from you. If we can help you tonight in any way, we ask you to come as we stand and as we sing. Won't you come?